Look in John chapter 12, in verse 23. John 12, 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Look at the last verse of verse 26 again, the last part. "If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Let's pray.
Lord Jesus, it's our desire here today that your name would be lifted up, glorified, magnified. Lord, I pray in the things that are said and the things that are done here today that you'd get all the honor and the glory. We want you to get the praise, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you sacrificed yourself so that we might have eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood for us. Thank you, Lord, for providing eternal life. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity here today to be able to preach. Lord, may your word go forth with power and with boldness. Touch us, Lord. Let us walk away different than when we came in. Lord, we desire a closer and a better relationship with you. I pray that you grant it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That old phrase in the end of verse 26 has been running through my mind. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. There are two things in this verse right here. I tried to get 3 points out of it, but it didn't work, you know, so you could have the standard 3 points, but I didn't get it. But there are two things in here that I'd like to bring out this morning that I'd just like to talk about for a few minutes. The first is service, and the second is the honor of the Father. You know, I don't know if you understand, and I guess so many things that we receive from God, we really do take for granted. And we really have to be careful. Brother Lindell's Sunday school message really touched me this morning because I get like that a lot. I get so self-centered that I don't think about other people. And I do. I forget where I come from. I forget what the Lord has brought me out of. And I end up losing my compassion in many certain situations. I've got to remind myself over and over and over again what a miracle it is that I'm even saved. That this isn't some right that was conferred upon me. You know, it wasn't my birthright that I became a Christian. It wasn't because I earned it that I became a Christian. This is a tremendous miracle that God would even show mercy on me. Amen. You know, I think our service to God is a tremendous privilege also. Amen. Our griping and complaining about what we do for the Lord is a tremendous shame. You know, I mean, the best of what we do for God, we ought to give God our absolute best. I think of service, and I really have a desire to serve the Lord. I want to. I want my sons to serve the Lord. I tell them all the time. I said, look, I don't care if you become a garbage collector, if you're a lawyer, whatever it is. I do care that you support yourself. So whatever you do, make sure you make enough money that you support yourself so that I don't have to carry you through life. But honor the Lord. Serve the Lord in whatever it is that you do. That's my main desire. I want my kids to serve the Lord. I want us to be a church that serves the Lord. You know, it's a tremendous privilege that we have of serving the Lord. If you look in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about some points. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look in verse 19. He's talking in this passage right here about the temple of the Holy Spirit and fornication and what it does. And he says, what? Verse 19. "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You know, not only is America one of the most generous nations on earth, you know, we are almost one of the most proud nations on earth, too. I mean, there is a pride that runs through an American that's just tremendous. You know, when we go to other countries, when we get involved in different parades and things, a lot of times the dignitary of the host country will be sitting there and the troops will go by and every country's flag will kind of dip a little bit when they go by the king or the president or whatever it is, except for the United States. Our flag doesn't dip before anybody. You know, we don't bow before anybody. And I kind of like that independence. I kind of like that strength, except when it comes to God. We get that attitude a lot with God, that we don't bow before God, that we don't dip our flag before the Lord. But the truth is that every one of us that's a Christian, we are bought with a price. You know what that means? God has a right to our service. Just like in the old days, if I went and I made a contract with somebody, I have a right to that person's service. You go and you become an employee somewhere. You don't have the right to dictate to your employer all the things that you're going to do. There's a job description right there, and you either fulfill that job description or you don't. The employer is not in existence for you. You are in existence there for your employer. And we have got a labor rights movement going in the United States that's just tremendous, that labor has all the rights and the management doesn't. Well, let me tell you something, is we ought to obey God, we ought to consider ourselves as belonging to God, because actually, He owns us. You're bought with a price. God has a right to your service. There was a banker one time, and he was one of the preachers in town had gone to talk to him, and of course this banker was very powerful, very, very proud, and as I was reading through the story, I kind of saw myself, you know, at one point in time, except I didn't have as much to be proud of as he did. But he was just a very powerful man. And so the preacher was telling him, look, you got to repent of your sins. You've got to ask Jesus to save you. I mean, he was going through the gospel and giving it to him. And the banker said, no, I'm doing good. I mean, I give this, I do that. And if God's not pleased with that, well, there's nothing more that I can do. And he finally told the banker this. He said, look, if someone were to come into your bank and they were to ask for a loan, and they were to say, look, this is how much I want to borrow. This is the interest rate that I'm willing to pay. And this is how long I'm going to take to pay it back. He said, you'd throw them out of your bank. He said, if someone comes into your bank, they're going to go according to your terms if they're going to borrow money. Isn't that right? And the banker said, well, yeah, that's right. He's going to follow the bank's policies and the bank's terms. He says, well, isn't it the same with the Lord? You see, the Lord's the one that's offering the salvation. The Lord is the one that has mercy in His hand. Now, how ludicrous when we go to the Lord on our own terms. When we go to the Lord and we'll say, Lord, this is how I think things ought to be. And that's why a lot of people aren't saved today, because they think that somehow their works are going to do it for them. And they go to God on their own terms and they say, look, Lord, I'll work for you. I'll do this. And it just doesn't cut it. You know what the Bible says right here? It says, you are bought with a price. You realize how much Jesus had to pay in order to give us the opportunity to be Christians? And our service for God is not I'm not even sure what the word is, but it's a tremendous privilege that we give back to God. I consider serving the Lord a tremendous privilege. And because He's bought me, He has the rights to my service. I really don't have the choice as to choose whether or not I'm going to serve the Lord. You see, if you're saved, that should be a choice. That should be a foregone conclusion. He owns me. He's bought me. Not only that, but it says that there is even one who is our master, which is Christ. You know, not only does He get my service, He's the only one who gets my service. Do you realize that everything that you are, everything that you own, everything that you do belongs to God? There shouldn't be any compartments in our life whatsoever. He says, if any man serve me, him will the Father honor. You know what the Lord is looking for? He's looking for men and women that will serve Him. Not just give Him tokens here and there, but I mean serve God. Because you belong to Him, because He's redeemed you from all corruption. You know something about our service to God? And this is something I've taken a tremendous amount of comfort in over the years. Look at 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. It's probably just about everybody's memory verse. If it's not, it should be. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, verse 58. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Have you ever labored in vain? I've labored in vain many times. I remember doing work that was designed for no other purpose than to keep me busy. You ever been in a holding station in the military? Those of you that used to be in the military, in a reception station or some sort of holding station where you've got to be there for a couple of weeks? I remember going out on Monday morning with a bucket of white paint, painting these silly little rocks that were on the side of the road. that kind of curved around. They looked real pretty. You know what I did on Wednesday? The paint was barely dry. I'm back painting those same rocks again. I mean, we are doing things, we are working, we are laboring for things that don't matter at all. I mean, I'm thinking, why in the world am I spending all this time getting paint all over me, painting these same rocks over and over again? There's no purpose for it. But let me tell you something about your service to God, is there is purpose in everything that you do. He says right here, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. There is not one single prayer in service to God that goes up that is not only noticed but is counted and useful in some way to the kingdom of God. What God tells you to do is so significant, is so important. I mean, when we see our service to God, God just doesn't set His people around to look busy. Do you realize that what you do counts for something? That ought to be a comfort to you. Nobody likes to labor in vain. Nobody likes to work and work and work and not see any results. Nobody likes to do these things, but let me tell you something about your work for the Lord. You ought to get it down. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. I consider myself a servant. A servant of God. I'm not God's president. I'm not God's right-hand man. I'm not His co-pilot. I'm not any of these things. I am God's servant. And as God's servant, I serve Him. And He just doesn't keep me busy. He gives me significant things to do. Now, maybe I don't see the results of it, but I know that whenever I preach the gospel, whenever I knock on a door, whenever I get down on my knees to pray, whenever I do seemingly the most inconsequential thing, I know that it counts and I know that it's important for the glory of God. That ought to bring you some comfort. Too many people are down on service. There's a lot of other aspects of God that they'd rather like to talk about, but really God expects our service. And I'll tell you something else, is when it comes to His servants, God wants good service. Now, you don't think that He does. I don't know why we are so hypocritical in this way, but I don't think there's a person in this room that would go and sit down in a restaurant and be satisfied with bad service. Anybody? Anybody be willing? Now, sometimes you might be a little too shy to say anything about it. And so you'll eat the cold steak or, you know, you'll eat some greasy French fries or whatever. But you're not satisfied with bad service. I mean, when I drive into McDonald's drive-thru, I want that meal. And I don't want it I don't want it slow. I don't want to be sitting in that drive-thru for a minute and 45 seconds in the heat. You know, I want that meal. I want good service. I expect good service. And so when I get disrespect, I'm liable to say something about it. I remember one time, this guy was in the drive-thru window. I think it was Whopper Burger, and I came through, and it was my fault too because I was a little irritated anyway, and he didn't give me the proper order. And I've learned, I always check the bag, you know, I always make sure before I leave that I get that order, and I didn't get the order. And I handed it back to him, and I said, look, I said, I really ordered this. And he pointed to the sign, his little checkout sign that he has there where he writes all the orders. He said, look, this is your car and this is what I have for you. I says, man, I didn't order that. You know, I was incredulous that he would actually challenge me. It was amazing. I won't tell you what happened after that, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't contribute to the end of the sermon anyway, but I wanted good service. I went to an oil lube place one time, and I wanted to get oil. I was getting ready to take my truck down to Mexico, and so I wanted to change my oil real fast. I was having a lot to do, so I figured I could get him to change my oil. I could run across the street and pick up some other stuff that I had and be back, and I could get it done. And he was going to rotate the tires for me. So it came back, and the tires hadn't been rotated. And I said, what's wrong? And he says, well, you got about a two-hour wait for the lift to open up so we can rotate your tires. So man on this, it says free oil change 15 minutes and oil change 15 minutes and then free rotation of tires. And he says, well, and so, man, I was upset. And I said, well, forget it. You know, just give me a discount or something. And he wouldn't do it. So I went out and I better check this oil. I went and my old oil filter was still on the thing. It had wrench marks on it, like there was somebody was trying to get it off and it couldn't get it off. Went back in, and so he finally gave me a discount of $1.25. Now, where in town are you going to buy a oil filter for $1.25? Man, I was mad. I wanted to sue him. You know, I wanted to sue the company. Oh, it would have cost $1,000. I didn't care. You know, I wanted to make things right. I want good service. Have you ever thought that the Lord wants good service? You're a servant. It doesn't please Him when you come slapping in. Did you listen to the message last week? It was a good message by Brother Steve. He talked about how we serve the Lord. And I can put his sermon and plop it down right in this point right here, and it'd be important. It'd be good. It'd fit just perfect. God wants us to be good servants. You know what he tells us to do? He tells us to be instant, in season, and out of season. You know what some people think the service of the Lord is? Is something they do when they feel the Spirit leading them or moving them or feel some sort of an emotional draw. He says, no, you be instant, in season, out of season. That means when you feel like it, you serve the Lord and you enjoy it. When you don't feel like it, you do it out of duty, you serve the Lord anyway. Isn't that what Paul said? He said he's going to preach the gospel, even if it's against his will, a dispensation of the gospel has been committed to him. Why is this? Why do we serve God even when we don't feel like it? Because our service, our labor is not insignificant. We are actually doing something. We are accomplishing a goal. God has a grand design that we are a part of, and he is moving towards a vision, a goal, a direction, and he wants his servants to be part of it. It's one of the greatest things, the attractions about heaven for me, was when I learned that in heaven, we're not going to be sitting around on little clouds with little halos, you know, strumming harps and shooting arrows at each other and all this kind of stuff. No. He says in heaven, his servants shall serve him. Even when you get in your glorified body and you get all of these honors bestowed upon you, you're still going to be God's servant. And God's still going to say, go here, go there. You know what the best thing about that part's going to be? Is there going to be no complaining in heaven. Yes, sir, I'll go. No problem at all, you know. I'll go on a trip here. I'll go to Jupiter over there. Wherever it is you want me to go, whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it. And that veil of sin is going to be gone, and we're not going to be influenced like that anymore. His servants in heaven are going to serve him cheerfully. Why don't you do it now? Amen. Oh, Linda, you talked about giving again this morning. You talked about money. You talked about expressing your love with your pocketbook. Well, let me tell you, give cheerfully. Amen. You know what I've learned? God's able to supply. And I guess maybe about a month and a half ago, I was in this little period, and I know you get in those periods too, you know, when the debts get a little higher than the money coming in, you get to feeling sorry for yourself. But you know, it wasn't too long before the Lord reminded me, look, remember when I did this for you? Remember when I did that for you? Remember when I did this for you? And this, and this. And the memories just started flooding and coming in, and I felt so ashamed. I said, Lord, I'm sorry I was complaining. You have blessed me so much. Man, it made me want to give even more, and I did. I'm thankful. I want to give cheerfully. That's what a servant does. A servant works faithfully. A servant works cheerfully. A servant doesn't go AWOL. A servant doesn't lay down on the job. A servant doesn't call in sick. A servant is there, available, and ready, with his ear, ready to hear what the master has to say. That's what a servant is. He says, if any man will serve me, is there anybody that will serve God? Well, there's a lot of people that would like to get their heaven's insurance paid up. A lot of people would like to say a little prayer so they could escape the damnation of hell. But you know, when we look in this Bible and we look at salvation, salvation has nothing to do with just some little prayer that you pray and that's it and it's ever finished. We are talking about the living God of the universe coming down and making his abode in you. I mean, we're talking about being transformed. We're talking about becoming new creatures. We're talking about one day we served the flesh and we were bound. We were just tied to the flesh, and now we've been free to serve God and to say no to the flesh and to say yes to God. He has taken such a transformation in us and made us something different. Servants. He says, if any man serve me, let him follow me gladly. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And it's true that we honor good service. A waiter cheerfully, efficiently brings you your food, you give him a tip. You do well. An employee faithfully serves you, you promote the man. You give him honor. You do those things. And God is not uncompassionate. God is not blind. God doesn't just pass over our labor of love. God is intently looking at everything that we do for him. And if we bestow honor upon those who provide good service here in this life, and I think that this verse right here talks about God in the same way. It says, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And that's the second thing I'd like to bring out in this verse today. Number one, our service for Him. Number two, our honor, His honor of us. Now, normally when you see honor in the Bible, it's directed the other way. And the truth is everything we do, we should do to honor Him. I mean, there's no doubt. When I talk about this right here, it in no way lifts us up or magnifies the human race in any sort of way because we realize what we are before God. But you know, God does honor those that serve Him. You think it's useless to serve God? It's not useless to serve God. You think there's no reward to serve God? There is tremendous reward in serving God. I don't know that I've experienced any greater reward than the rewards that I've experienced serving God. I think I could take all those little papers. You know, I got certificates, different certificates from different things, one from a company, some from the military, that tell me I'm a good boy. You know, they honor me. They tell me I did this and this and I'm worthy of this. But you know, any honor in life is insignificant when it pales to the honor that God gives to His people. I want you to look at a verse with me. Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 15. It's by no means an exclusive list, but just some of the ways that God honors His people. Look at verse 13. John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You realize what a privilege it is, what an honor, that God would call us His friends. You know, there have been great men in the world, and I've known about them. I've studied about them. You know, I remember one time I was sitting on a tarmac, and we were all around guarding this one airplane that came in. We were providing a cordon, and this guy steps off the plane. He was in a brown suit, and he's the most powerful man in the United States. His name was President Reagan. You know, I knew where he lived. I knew what his wife's name was. I knew what his kids were. I knew what he did for a living. I knew a lot about that guy. But you know, I wasn't free just to walk up to him and say, "Hey, Ron, how you doing? Hey, Brian, what's going on? I haven't seen you in a long time." "Yeah, you know, they got me over here guarding you. You know, hey, how's the wife and kids?" There's no kind of relationship like that at all because I'm not his friend. But you know, I'm God's friend. You know, there's some things, and I don't have time to look them up, but there's some things in Proverbs. A proverb says that a friend loveth at all times. You know what God's friendship does for us? It provides us a source of love anytime, anywhere, any place. You know what human love does? Human love will love you as long as there's something that they can get back. That's human love. Human love is many times self-centered. It's not situated in you. It's not zeroed in on what is best for you. It's what's best for me. And many times my love falls far short. But you know, I'm the recipient of the greatest love the world has ever known. God loves me. And God says, "I call you no more servants, but I call you friends." And the fact that He has made us friends, yes, we're His servants, but we also enter into a friendship with God that's much more than simply just a servant and a master. This is much more intimate. It's much sweeter. It says that a friend sticketh closer than a brother. It says also that faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know, I've got a friend who will always tell me the truth. I've got a friend that won't flatter me with flattering words. I have got a friend that's going to stick with me till the end. No matter how hard things get, I've got a friend. And you know, I've actually learned the value of friendships. When I was growing up, I didn't really know the value of friendships. When we changed schools, you know, I didn't try to keep up with the old guys. And we changed quite a bit and we moved around. And when I moved away from home at 17, I made no effort, no contact to try to keep up with my old friends. A lot of them were simply just acquaintances anyway. You know, it wasn't until after I got saved. You know, I've known some of you guys now since 1982 when I first started coming here. You know what I know now? I know that there's a tremendous amount of stability and comfort in long-term friendships. You know, there's a fellowship there that's just sweet. I mean, when you go through things together and you resolve problems and you do those things, man, just that time is so sweet. For our good friends, probably the best friends. And you know, I'm looking forward to that friendship getting even sweeter as the years go by. I'm even more precious. Because one thing about friendship is time really does sweeten them. It strengthens them. And so you think, you know, when somebody's elderly and they lose a loved one, a wife or a husband or a dear friend, you know, that's a tremendous loss because of all the years and all the things that are built up with that. And the fact that he would actually make this statement here, I've called you friends. The fact that a perfect, a loving, a righteous, a holy God would look down and actually consider me a friend. Let me ask you a question. Have you been working on your friendship with God? Your fellowship? 1 John says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, I know you serve Him, but you know there's something even greater than that, even more dear than that. And that's that He calls you a friend. It says in John chapter 12, it says, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You know, in John chapter 14 and verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Amazing about that obedience right there. It says, if any man love me, he will keep my words. It says, back there when it talks about a friend, it says, he that keepeth my commandments, he's my friend. You know, it's amazing how obedience goes here. But he says in John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come into him and make our abode with him. You know, it's an honor when certain people come into your house. It's a tremendous honor, and I'm sure that if you saw that somebody very important was going to come to your house, you'd want to clean up. And we do that every so often. We invite people over simply so we can get the house situated again, you know? We know that motivates us to get things. They don't want to see our dirty socks on the floor. They don't want to see all that dust over in the corner, you know? We don't mind it so much, but they might mind all those dirty dishes and everything, and so we want a clean house, you know? So we clean the house, we make everything clean. When we know somebody's coming over that we want to honor, we make sure that we put food in the refrigerator and there's something there to drink because we want to treat someone that comes over to us. We're concerned with the way that it is. Well, you know, God the Father has honored you by coming to make His abode in you. Have you ever understood the impact of that? God lives in me. Not this sense, you know, God lives in me. You know, He's chosen me. But no, God lives in me. You know, the indwelling Christ is going to keep you out of many areas. It's going to make you do things. It's going to make you keep your house clean. Have you ever thought about the fact that the living God lives in you? And that's an honor. Some people look at God as if that's their God-given right. You know, that's an entitlement. But let me tell you, anything that God does for us is not an entitlement. It is not something that we deserve. All of this is stuff that He has done in spite of the fact that we're sinners. He reached down. He had mercy on us. He saved us. Not only that, but He says He gives us the opportunity to serve Him. But not only that, He goes farther and says, you're not just servants. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I ask you. And not only that, but He honors us in such a way that He chooses us to dwell in. It might even be easier if He chose, like the Old Testament, to dwell in a building or something, because then we could always go to God. But no, we are the temple of God, and God lives in me. I want a clean house for God to dwell in. I want a place that will honor Him as much as He does by coming to stay with me, by coming to live with me. Look in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love, and I know I said verse 2, but I meant verse 1. But verse 2, it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. See, God not just doesn't honor us by allowing us into a service. He makes us His friends. He comes and makes His abode in us. But not only that, He gives us the grand title of sons. And that just doesn't mean men, because He says, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. So it says, it means men and women here. It says, you're going to be my children, you're going to be my sons. Not by birth, but by adoption. He has adopted us into the family by the new birth through Jesus Christ. And now He calls us sons. You know, I was working for a place one time, and the boss wanted me to do some work at his house on the weekend. I mean, the big boss, the one that owned the whole company. And I needed a little extra money, so I went out there on the Saturday, you know, and I'm trimming the trees, and I'm hacking on the bushes, and I'm getting all sweaty and dirty. And a guy that I work with walks by me, and I turn around and look, and he walks up the sidewalk and walks up onto the porch and sits down on the porch. And his name was Bear. And he puts his feet on the deck, and lady comes outside, gives him iced tea, and my boss comes outside, sits down in a chair next to him, and they both have their feet up there on the porch, and they're both talking and drinking iced tea, and I'm over there, I'm slaving away, you know, I'm not allowed to use the front porch, I gotta go back behind and get my drink out of the water hose. You know what made the difference? In fact, he was the guy's son. He was his boy. I wasn't anything but a worker there. I had no respect. They didn't say hi to me. They didn't give me the time today. I was there doing what I was supposed to be doing. I was trimming the grass. I was digging the weeds. I was trimming, and he did what he guaranteed he'd do. He paid me what he deserved. But I didn't get to sit on the porch and put my feet on the rail and drink lemonade because I didn't have that kind of relationship with him. I wasn't a son. Do you realize what kind of an honor it is to be called the very Son of God? Or do you despise that? Do you somehow think that that's a lightly esteemed thing to behold? Now are we the sons of God. Now compare that to the titles that you get here on earth. Is there any honor in the titles here on this compared to this honor right here? The fact that God said, any man that will serve me, him will my Father honor. And you say, well, where's the honor in serving the Lord? How about being called a son of the living God? How about being in a place one day where we will judge angels? How about being priests and kings here on the earth? How about being a peculiar people, a holy nation? You see, God has conferred upon us a title that's greater than any honor this world ever gives. And it kind of makes me laugh because even in this profession of preaching, you know, it's kind of a tendency to want to put all those letters on the end of your name. Now, I could put letters on the end of my name too. I've got a 2-year college degree. I've got an associate's degree. I could put those initials on the end of my name, right? I could. But you see, when compared with the honor that God gives, it doesn't mean absolutely anything. When compared to the names and the titles that the world gives, the honor of the world just simply fades away. God said, any man that will serve me, how's your service to the Lord? Him will my Father honor. I want you to understand something, that the rewards for the servant, the rewards for the Christian, are still in the future. One day the crowns will be given. One day all the acknowledgement for the work done will be remembered. One day all the tears that were shed will be brought back up in that bottle and will be remembered again. One day all the prayers will be brought to remembrance and will be recognized. One day everything that's done, every labor, every prayer, every heartache, everything that's done for Christ will one day come up again. And at the judgment seat, you'll face it all again. And there's the time for honor. If any man will serve me, him will my Father honor. You know what it teaches me? It teaches me, don't be envious for a minute at the prosperity of the wicked. Don't be envious for a minute because the wicked are prospering. There's some man that seems to have tremendous honor, tremendous wealth. Don't envy that for a minute because it's hollow. You know what I know about the honor of this world? The honor of this world is flattery, lies, and hollow. One day, me and Judy, just to get out of the house, we went and I got her out and we took a drive, got a babysitter, and we went to this place in the hill country. And it was a timeshare place. You pay a certain amount of money and you get a week's worth of stay at a particular resort or whatever. And we went there and just got out and they took us on a beautiful tour. You know, when we walked in, there was somebody there to meet us. There was somebody there to meet us. They escorted us to a table. They got her some iced tea. They went and they got me some coffee. They refilled my coffee. They asked us about our family. Are your kids doing fine? They smiled a lot. People kind of winked as they went by, you know. There was beautiful music playing in the background, you know. It was a very nice place, a very plush place. And we just kind of, you know, we were soaking it up. And Judy was soaking it up. And so they honored us. They took us around and they showed us the swimming pools. And they showed us the beautiful rooms. And they showed us all of these things. And we're like, wow, you know, this is great. And they finally brought us into this other room, you know. And there's more coffee and more iced tea and more flattery. And they began to do their sales. And it was at that point that I realized, man, what a ripoff. You know, I'm going to pay $10,000 for the right to stay in this small apartment away from my home for 1 week out of the year. This is a ripoff. It doesn't work. And so I started arguing back and forth. And I kind of played it as a game, you know, kind of a match of wits. When they bring out one thing, I'd bring out something else. And then I just forgot the arguing altogether and I started talking about the Lord. You know, my Lord would not allow me to do this without praying about it overnight, because I know they want you to sign right now, you know. And finally they gave up, you know. And we got free tickets. They said, if you just come, you get a free prize. So we didn't win the color TV, but we did win the all-expense vacation to Hawaii. We went down there. We got plane tickets for Hawaii and everything. You couldn't use them in the summer. You couldn't use them in the winter. You could use them for 1 week in the fall. And they picked your hotel, and the hotel they picked was $329 a night. You had to stay minimum of 14 days, you know, so there's no way we could go. But they ushered us into this room to give us the tickets. And in this room was a lady, and she was sitting at a desk, no pictures on the wall, no perfume, no coffee, nothing like that. And she goes, here, sign here, sign here, sign. And I said, hey, well, what about this? You know, I want to go here. And she says, I don't know. I don't know. They don't tell me nothing. I don't know. Go on. And it was a psychological tactic. You know what that tells me? Don't believe the honor that this world gives. I'm going to tell you all the time, the devil is taking men and women out of the service of Christ. He puts his arm around them and he says, look at all the kingdoms of the world you could have. I mean, if you just forgot about serving God and put all of your effort into this career over here, let me show you what would be yours and what you could have. Let me tell you, the devil is always a liar. The honor that this world gives is a hollow honor. Who cares if everybody in the United States knows my name? In 100 years, nobody's going to know my name. It all passes away. It all fades away. But there's something that will not fade away. And that's my name. And my name right now is written in a book. It's a big book in heaven. And it's called the Book of Life. And God said He will never blot my name out of the book. So in 1,000,000 years, all of the textbooks will be gone. All of the history of the world will fade away. But in that book right there, my name is still going to be in there. I'd rather have the honor that comes from God. I would rather give my service to God rather than my service to the world and have an honor that will last and will not fade away. One final verse, if you'll turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. He asks a very important question. Get this question. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? How can you believe? You know what he's dealing with? He's dealing with the Pharisees here. You know what the Pharisees do? They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. They love the honor of men more than the honor of God. They prefer what their neighbor says about them than preferring what God says about them. Listen, the honor of God is greater. If you receive the honor of men, how are you going to receive the honor of God? The honor of God is better. Let me ask you a question. Do you belong to Jesus Christ? If you don't belong to Him right now, it's simple to change. You just give yourself to Him. You see, He's willing to take you. You surrender yourself and repent of your sins. Just confess your sins to Him, and He'll receive you. You'll become His son. You'll become His daughter. By faith in Jesus Christ, you can be saved today. Are you His servants? Do His servants serve Him? How do you serve God? Are you happy in your service? Are you doing it with joy? You have a good attitude in your service toward the Lord? Are you giving everything you've got to the service of the Lord? And what are you looking for your goals and your dreams? The honor of this world that does nothing but pass away? Are you looking for the honor that comes from God and only comes from God? Let me tell you, in the day of judgment, only the approval from God is going to matter. It's the only thing that's going to matter. Build your life and serve God in such a way that you look forward to that day when He honors all those that serve Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You, Lord, for this word. We thank You, Lord, number one, that You simply even saved us. Lord, I am so grateful that You saved me from my sins and You gave me eternal life. Thank You, Lord, for doing it. Thank You, Lord, for sending men my way and women my way that told me the gospel. Thank You, Lord, for not giving up on me. Thank You, Lord, for saving me. Thank You, Lord, for letting me enter into a friendship with You and enjoying the fellowship that comes with that. Thank You, Lord, for allowing me to serve You. Oh, thank You for calling me Your son. Lord, thank You for the honor that I've enjoyed and experienced because of what You've done for me. And Lord, thank You for everything that You've done in the lives of each of these believers here today. Lord, help us in light of all these things. Help us to honor You in our work, to honor You in our homes, to honor You in our business, to honor You in our service to You. Lord, You've done so much for us. We want to do everything possible for you. And I pray, Lord, that if there's somebody in this room that's not saved, oh God, that you'd reach down, that you'd save them before it's too late. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.